2 Chronicles, chapter 7. It says, if my people, which are called by my names, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and forgive their sin and heal their land. Say, heal the land. What happens when you got land that's healed? What happens when land gets healed? It starts to bring forth that thing that God wanted it to bring forth, right? How many want your land healed? How many want your land healed? Now listen. It says, if, circle the word if. If. Write it down. I-F. If. If. That means it doesn't have to happen, right? Well, I'm tired of chances. Isn't it a shame that, you know, you could play the lottery, you get one in a million chance probably to win, and everybody plays it. And this little thing is just yes or no. I mean, just a 50% chance whether you get it or not. And you can control that 50% chance whether you get healed land or not. Do it. If. If. You want something to happen, you do this. If you don't want it to happen, don't do this. If. Say, I control the if. It's nobody's fault but mine. You control the ifs in your life by what you do. What you decide to do and the way you act, you control the ifs. Say, if I let God be God, everything will be all right. Say it again. If I let God be God, everything will be all right. If, get out of my face. I'm so tired of if. How many of you are sick of if? You have to clean house a little bit. Amen. I'm tired of cleaning up after the devil's mess. I've got to get rid of the if that let him in the door. Somebody say, Mr. If, you're out of my face. Somebody said, you give the devil an inch, he'll take a mile. Say, give no place to the devil. Well, where's the devil come in? Ifs. You got to be determined. The Bible says that a double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. And that person is double-minded, can't expect to get anything from God. You can't get anything from God. Double-minded, thinking both ways, thinking two ways. You got to have your mind made up. Guess what? You're never going to be blessed to the level that God wants you blessed until you are completely sold out in blessing. You're never going to be a millionaire until you're completely convinced in your spirit and there are no questions about it. That's right. That's what I need and that's what I'm going to get. We can upgrade our lifestyle right now. See, we can get to the point where we don't have to worry about the devil too much. He gets behind us. He becomes a little man. And then we realize what the situation really is. We start to deal with ourselves, amen? And we have to grab ourselves by the shirt collar and say, listen, if, not going to be any more ifs in my life. I've already decided I'm going to obey God. I'm going to trust God. I'm going to do exactly what he says do, and there'll be no chances. If is out of my face. If is out of my face. So that there's no shadow of turning. Do you know you can turn around if you want to? You can give up if you want to? Somebody say if. You got to make up your mind. No more if. Say, when Jesus said, when God said, look, he said, the promises of God are yes and amen. They're not iffy. The promises of God are yes and amen. And he said it. He meant it. He sent his son died on the cross to represent it. Come on. Sent the Holy Ghost to represent what he did and what he is and to manifest it. If. Church, we need to get to the point to where we stand bold in the Lord. Amen. And say, I'm tired of fighting with the devil. I'm not fighting. I got the devil under my feet. But now I'm going to deal with myself and get rid of the if. What started this mess? If. When you got an if in the question, when you're dealing with people and dealing with relationships, it's the if that always messes stuff up. Because people don't, we were talking about covenants and relationship. We were talking about relationships and they were talking about their marriage. We were talking about the covenant of it. Said, oh no, covenant is forever. Covenant is forever. Covenant's forever. God means forever. When he sets something up, it is solid. And we got to learn how to grab a hold of a promise and not let go. You need to get on the word of God like a dog on a bone. Amen. Desperately holding on to the promise of God and say, you're going to bless me. There was a man that grabbed that fought an angel just about all night long. He said, listen, I'm not going to let you go until you bless me. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. Say, I'm totally confident. You got to have your mind made up. No questions. No questions. No debate. Somebody say, the Bible, there's a scripture in the Bible that says, come and let us reason together. Well, the reasoning is reason that he's right. Well, we need to get on from that. We need to get on from that. That should bless somebody right there. I see something in the spirit right now. I just see us getting a big push broom. I see this in the Holy Ghost. I don't care what the circumstance is right now. I don't care what the situation is. I don't care what the devil's trying to do. I don't care. That's not the problem. Those are just symptoms of a bigger problem. I'm tired of dealing with symptoms. Amen. Many people want to take chemo. You better get the thing that you're fighting off. If I can conquer the symptoms, if I can deal with the if. And I just see people with a big push broom in the spirit pushing if out the door. Oh, I sense the devil, he's mad. Say, I don't want to go. I don't want to go. I don't want to go. I want to stay. I want to stay. Get up and push the if out the door. Say, I'm not talking to you about this no more. If is gone. Because you might turn around. You might second guess it. Push the if out the door. You get sold out for God and push if out the door. Push it out the door. If. Say, I've got a will to follow my God. I got a will to follow my God. Somebody, there's no two decisions here. Amen. I'm going to walk in the spirit, not after the flesh. If is gone. So before you can even get to anything, you got to deal with that. Somebody say, my people. Uh-oh. Uh-oh. See, that's the trip right there. My people. Uh-oh. Say, my people. My. That means belonging to, right? People that he owns, right? People that are under his lordship. My people. Didn't say those people. Uh-oh. Didn't say those people. Didn't say religious people. It said, if my. It all starts with God. If my people. See, you got to get to the point to find out what kind of person are you. Are you God's man? Are you God's woman? What kind of woman are you? What kind of man are you? Of what sort are you? What matter of man is this that even the winds and the waves obey him? Somebody say, my people. From what lineage are you? My people. Say, I belong to God. That's how you can tell the devil, take your hands off God's property. When you belong to somebody else, you're possession of somebody. My people, my seed. If my people, do you belong to God? Are you submitted to God? Are you under his lordship? Are you under his leadership? Or are you your own person? Are you your own person? You're going to find out the more you get with God, the more you're dependent upon him. He says, if my people. Basically, he was actually saying troop. I studied that word and it came up troop, flock, nation of people. This nation looks like a troop, an army. Those kind of people. Say it's God's people that call and get an answer. If my people which are called by my name. But it says, if my people which are called by my name. Called. God called you. He started this. He said, get over here. People think, I found the Lord. I found the Lord. You didn't find God. God found you. He started this thing. He wanted to bless you. He called you by name. He called you up out of the muck and the miry clay. Somebody say called.
who has called us out of darkness into marvelous light. Called out of darkness. The people that he called out of darkness. He saw you in some situations and said, come on out of there. Amen. He saw you wrapped up in drugs. Come on. And said, come on out. Saw you wrapped up in a going nowhere relationship and said, come on out. Saw you in a dead end street and said, come on. You were called out of that stuff. Don't go back into it. He found you in some stuff that you don't belong in anymore. And he commanded you to come out from among them. You were in a burning building.
And God saw the thing and he said, and he wanted you to come out of the stuff. Say, I got a command on my life. I got a command to succeed. He called me out of Egypt into the promised land. Somebody say, why won't you give up? Why do you keep believing God for the best? He's called me up there. Amen. He's called me on the higher things, on the greater things. And in his word, in his call, there's a commandment. There's power in his call. God's calling you. Come up out of sickness. Come up out of disease. Come up out of death. Come up out of depression. Called out of darkness into the light. Oh, some people want to stay there, but I'm not going to let you stay there. I'm going to keep on calling. Come on! Get up! Get up! Get up! Get up! Get up wherever you are. Get up! Somebody, maybe one day you'll hear the message. You'll hear the message. Amen. And the word of God will grab a hold of your heart and anchor you and pull you. That's what the call of God is all about. That's why we got to preach the word. To as many as he called to them. Amen. He gave the right to become the sons of God. It's the call of God. You got to understand, your walk with God, you didn't start this thing. He started it. It's a supernatural thing. Amen. Your relationship with God, it's supernatural. There's a supernatural force. He called you by name. And even that call, he called you and gave you a name. It means both. I said, it's my people which are called by my name. Basically, does it mean call, like calling somebody on the phone? Yes. But it also means the people that are called the same name as he. Whenever he commissions you with anything, he gives you his authority and his name. So he called you up and said, go, do, and become. And you won't be able to do anything for God unless you do it. See, he doesn't have any confidence in men whatsoever. So he empowers you to do everything he's called you to do. So he gives you his name. Say, I'm called to reign and rule as a king. And he gave me his name that I might be able to fulfill his calling on my life. People want to play games. People want to play games. They want to half step and they want to do it this way. Somebody say, no excuse. He commanded you to do it and gave you his name so that you can do it in. You are called by his name. It says, if my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves. That's the people that can't humble themselves, the people that haven't dealt with the if. You got to realize you got a new name. So what you trying to make a name for yourself for? Amen. That's the sign of pride. People trying to rule and reign, trying to conquer to make a name for themselves when God has already given them a name. I will boast in nothing except for Jesus Christ and him crucified. That's my boasting. That's my degree. If I want a house, he'll bless me with a house. Amen. I want a car, he'll give me one. Will humble themselves. Somebody say, I can humble myself. I don't, in his name alone, there is sufficiency. That only in him I'll be able to boast. Called by his name. Called by his name. I'm anointed of God. Amen. And I'm called by his name. Therefore, I humble myself. And the only thing I got is his name and his call. In my people which are called by my name will humble themselves. Bow down. Humble themselves. I could do nothing without you. I am nothing without you. Only Jesus. Humble themselves. You got to get to the, he will humble you to where you have no self-sufficiency other than your prayer life. You have some stuff you find yourself comfortable in. He'll challenge you in those things to get you dependent upon him. Will humble themselves. Ooh, it trips me out when you just see people. Pride. Knowing that God did it. So you don't impress me. God did that. All of this might look nice, but hey, don't give me any glory. God did that. The Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Amen. It's a God thing. I ain't jumping up and down and tap dancing. I knew it was God. You better find out who did what. And when you find out what God did, you walk a little bit differently. You can see when somebody knows what God did. Amen. You can tell when somebody knows what God did and what they did in and of themselves. Somebody say, it'll talk. It'll talk. Amen. He'll show you what you can do so that you can see what he can do. I'd rather see what he can do any day than realize what I can do. It'll talk. Somebody say, give it your best shot. You'll wear yourself out. Then you think you got a rain on it real quick. Somebody say, the bottom falls out. Why did the bottom fall out? There was no foundation. You better humble yourself from the get-go. Everybody that exalts themselves shall be humbled. You got to realize that God is real. He don't play no games. You might think you got your stuff together just one day. See, the devil loves to do those tests. He petitions God every day. He loves it. He says, I see some ifs over there. Said, I don't have anything to do. Let me go look for some ifs. Because there's some stuff out there that I'm not certain of. Is that you or is that them? If that's you, it'll stand. If not, it won't. Let me go try the ifs. Did God really do that? See, the devil doesn't know. So he gets out there and works it. Yeah. You better get rid of if. Devil will jump all over that if. He can't move on anything but your ifs. On your pride and anything you did and of yourself. Amen. He can't put his hand on anything that belongs to God. He can't touch anything that belongs to God. But that thing that you can do of your own self and of your own power, that you got it in your head all put together, here today, gone tomorrow, it'll be wiped clean. Get your Bible out. Will humble themselves. Woo, I'd rather humble myself any day than be humble. What does humble yourself mean? Do what God says, period, point blank. Don't second guess it. Don't question it. Don't think you're doing God any favor. Amen. Because you're doing the least of the law. That's what humble yourself is. Not walking with your head. You can walk with your head hung low in pride. Just as guilty, just as full of mess. And then people think you're humble. You walking around all moping and groping your proud self. God told you to come up out of the muck and miry clay, and you still doing it your own way and sad about being in pride. You're not humble. You're just miserable because you're proud and you can't get blessed. False humility. Oh, woe is me. And take your proud selves. Humble yourself and do the things and do what God wants you to do. Period, point blank. This is a proud nation. This is a proud nation. Pride, 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 pride. And I don't care what the Constitution says, the Bible says. I don't care what George Washington said, the Bible says. I don't care what Clinton says or whatever president said. I don't care what the Republican said, what the Democrat said. I care what the Bible says. Amen. I care what the Bible says. Somebody say, there is no respecter of person with God. He don't care for us no more than he do for the Russians and the Chinese. Amen. The African and the Bush boogies. Amen. He doesn't care. Pride is pride. Pride is pride. And God can't stand it. And the devil's just setting us up, waiting for the opportunity. Waiting for the opportunity. We got it all together. The economy's going good. Demons in hell laughing. Angel sitting on the corner laughing. Stock market's going just great. Those that exalt themselves in pride, pride goes for, you find it, pride will always be evident in the way people live. In the way people live and the things that they do. When you think you know more than the Bible, you think you know more than God,
I mean, it's an easy thing. It's a simple thing. Some people just crack me up. They come to church for about 2 to 3 years, then they get to knowing more than God. Amen. They can't do the basics anymore because they get so deep. I mean, they get so deep. You know, I mean, they get extremely deep. We don't have to pray anymore. That's not necessary anymore. Come on. That's so, well, I've been in this thing for a long time. You don't know like I know. I've been there. No, you haven't, because you'd still be there.
Amen.
You ain't been nowhere. You ain't been nowhere. Will humble themselves. You can't get anything from God until you humble yourself. He ain't going to debate with you, try to convince your head. Read it, believe it, and do it. Read it, believe it, and do it. Well, that's not the way we did things when I was growing up. Well, you grew up in sin. You were born in sin. So? That doesn't feel good. Look at somebody in the face. So? And? We got all this stuff we got to go through, all these reasonings why we can't believe God and do what God says do. Let me try it another way. Let me work God from this side because, you know, he and I are really tight. He's just God. You know, I won't do it. You know, he's my daddy, so I'll just work around the side door. God, I know you said that this is the way I work through this situation, to work through this problem over here, but we're going to try to work it this way because Dr. Spock said. Well, let's get off of that. So we got a people that he's calling out of darkness and giving him his name and giving them a commission and giving them a call. Amen. And because of that call, we humble ourselves and walk in fear. You know, when I got to the point to where, when you get with God, I say, Lord, I don't know nothing. I can't make one decision anymore. I got to pray. Come on. I mean, I've literally got to pray. Every decision I make is wrong. I have to get it prophetically from God. And I say, well, why don't I just do that all the time? That's easy. You know, sit up there, get everything out and look about it. Now, let me think about what I should do. Well, I learned my lesson. I refuse to. What do you say, God? That's exactly what we do. Amen. You know, you can pray over everything and get an answer. I got common sense. Mm-hmm. And it's one thing to humble yourself, but you got to humble yourself and pray. You ain't going to get nothing when you don't know how to pray. You can tell people that don't pray, they complain. You can tell people that don't pray, they gripe. Come on. You can tell their prayer life and go out to lunch with them on a bad day. Mm-hmm. Come on. Play the wrong song on the wrong Sunday. You can tell the ones that don't pray. You go over 15 minutes in that message. You can tell the ones that don't pray. You can be as humble as you want to, but if you don't pray, you ain't going to get nothing. I mean, prayer is not an option. Your relationship with God is based on talking to him and communicating with him. That's what it started with. Slap your husband. It's his fault. It's all their fault. It's all their fault, but we're going to get this thing right. There's more to being daddy than wearing a little baseball cap. Amen. More than daddy than a truck. Daddy's a spiritual thing. Amen. It goes with a relationship. You've got to be dependent upon God. You've got to be totally dependent upon God. More than your job. I mean, they got to see you punching the clock to go to work. Somebody said, well, I go to work every day. That is not enough. You got to punch the clock with God. God, what do I do? How do I handle this? I need you, God, more than anything. And this nation will turn when we get this thing right, when the men start to fall on their face and pray. This is not just a woman thing. Do you know that when the woman leads the man, now there are different ways of leadership, but do you know that is a curse? When you see, that is a sign of a curse. Whenever you can find when people get in bondage or slavery, the children rule in the Bible, that's a curse. When children rule, that's a curse. Upside down houses, that's a curse. When you go to the nation, when you go to church in America and you go in there and you see about 5 or 6, 20 men, amen, and we think we go and we put them all in usher's jacket where everybody can see them. And everything else is women. That's a curse. Now, I'm not saying that women are a curse, but where are the men? You better stand up. This nation's not going to come together until the men get their stuff together. Amen. And that revival starts in the morning. That revival starts in your marriage. And your kids better see it. I need you now more than anything. Humble themselves. Daddy's got a degree. Humble themselves. Daddy's got stock. Humble yourself. Oh, by the anointing of the Holy Ghost, I beg and I plead with you people, get your stuff together. Time to put all that other stuff on the side and say, I need God. Humble themselves and pray. Live out a prayer. We got to the point when you get humble, boy, do you pray. He wipes everything out. You go, well, Lord, now what do we do? You can live that way. You can live that way. God, I don't know what to do in this business. What to do next? Ask him. He'll tell you. That's what the Holy Ghost is there to do, lead you and guide you and direct you. That's what life is all about. That's what God started this thing. He would walk in the cool of the day with them, talking with them and communicating with them. Amen. He just wanted to spend time with them. That's first and foremost. We're talking about revival. We are talking about revival. And there are some key things that got to happen in revival. Don't you call a revival, amen, just because people are laughing and you got people showing up for a weekly revival in one church and everybody in there laughing and rolling on the floor. Not revival until people change. Oh, yes, you got to change. You got to humble yourself and you've got to pray. Pray lest you enter not into, so you don't go into temptation. Some of us are trained by the devil like a dog. I mean, he doesn't have to tempt us. He doesn't have to pull out the treat bag anymore. And he doesn't have to reward us for sin anymore. He doesn't have to treat us anymore. We're so somebody say, pray so you don't enter into temptation. Some of us are so trained and that he can be on the other side of the room and go, and there we go. Roll over. Sit up. Bark. Roll over. Fetch. Play dead. That's what happens when people don't pray. The devil comes in and says, he's going to have a little sideshow. Ready? You do spins. Now you jump through the hoops. Now I'll have that one go over that way. Amen. When people don't pray. You don't have a choice. You don't have a choice when you don't pray. Wonder when the devil comes in, you're going to try to pray all of a sudden. When you're so trained, amen. He's been playing those things and you don't pray. That means every time he comes to tempt you or to tempt your household, you just fall right in place because you don't pray. You're always, when you're not praying, you're hearing his music. He starts to play the song, amen. He said, no, I won't dance. No, I won't. Hey. All you got to do is strike up the band and there you go. That's what happens when we don't pray. Pray lest you enter into temptation. You ain't going to stand. Amen. I don't care how strong you think you is or how much you crying in worship service or how you laid on the floor when you got saved. You don't pray, your butt's going right back to sin. Amen. You will yield to temptation. You better get your face to the floor and pray. And pray. Humble yourself and pray. Pray. Why are you praying? I don't trust myself. Why are you praying if might show up? Somebody say, I'm making things certain. When you pray, things get real certain. Yes, yeah. They get extremely certain when they pray. When you pray. Things get certain. All the ifs go away. When you pray. Don't talk to me once I pray. It says, if my people which are called by myself will humble themselves. And humble means put themselves under subjection. Remember, he said, my people mean people that are under his subjection. under his subjection. Those are his kind of people. He points over that direction and we go running. Amen. He says over there and we go over there. There are two different types of people. There are people that are under subjection of the devil and people that are under subjection of God. People that talk to God will know his voice and obey him. People that don't talk to God will communicate with the enemy. And when he blows his horn, you will jump. Amen. When you pray, that won't happen. So it says building up yourself in the most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. 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 Praying. How many want to stand against the devil? Well, you're standing up in the devil just by praying in the Holy Ghost. It's easy. Just pray. Fall out of the bed and pray. It said, well, humble themselves and if my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray. Somebody say, seek. 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 What are you looking for? Write that word out. Seek. We wonder why we got lost generations. Kids looking at the TV trying to get inspiration. Kids looking at body piercing. Kids looking at drugs. Kids looking at everything from Jesus. Looking at everything but Jesus. They'd rather look at a New Age symbol. They'd rather look at the 900 number. At the astrologer. They look at everything but Jesus. They weren't trained to look at Jesus. Daddy. There's a thing that we learned about stage. I took theater when I was in college. And there's a thing we learned about stage, about staging things. Get up on the stage real quick, Chris. Holy Ghost is getting it. Jesse, go up on the stage real quick. Just stand up there and check out anything you want to check out. Go up there real quick, brother, and just look at anything. I mean, just go and have yourself a good old time. Don't they look good up there? Wonder why the world's walking around and running into circles. Now y'all just do anything you want to do and just tell them about Jesus as you're doing it. Say it. So tell them about that keyboard, but don't look at that keyboard. Tell me how great that keyboard is. Isn't it? Tell me about the keyboard. Isn't it nice? Just tell me about that keyboard. Isn't that nice? And we wonder why people don't want to get saved. Then look at everybody. Look right at that keyboard. Just look right there. Get your focus right there. Seek. That will happen in your family when you start to see. They'll know exactly what to look at. You can run your mouth all the time, but until you look at where you want them to go, they're not going to go there. Seek. 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 Everybody, you need to get saved. And why don't you go to church? When the church starts to seek God, the world will know exactly where to find him. Seek. Seek. When you start seeking something, Jesus will shine a little bit brighter and we'll know exactly where to go when we start to seek God. When you've lost direction, your family's lost direction, your kids don't know where to go to school, they don't know where to go to college, you don't know what's going on. If you don't know, turn your face to God and point the way with by the way you seek in the things that you seek in. If your face is buried in magazines, or TV. When times get rough, your kids are going to go right in that direction. I would hate to see God on the last day and you say, well, why was this one so confused? And God said, because you never looked at me. All you had to do is look at me. Say, my seeking has significance. Did you see it? Didn't you see it yourself? People wonder, and this is a little thing since we got on the men a little bit, is thing for women. Wonder why your kids can't come to church and can't get into things of God. Instead of your nose being in the Word and being into prayer, instead of you seeking God's face, you got your nose in everybody else's business. They check out what you're seeking, amen? And that's exactly what they go after. Somebody say, all I got to look is look in the right direction. That's why they said that the apostles said, we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to fasting and to the word. And as they did that, many were added to the church. Why? It's because the apostles just stopped to look. And as soon as they stopped to look, they came in. Find out where people got what they got their nose in. That's exactly where you're going. What they talk about all the time, that's exactly what you're getting. Seek my face. You want a little revving on that? Seek my face. As you spend time with God, as you spend time with God and you seek God, you see his face. And when you see somebody's face at times, you don't have to worry. They don't have to say a word when you see their face. That means you get to know, you seek God so much that you get to know him so intimately that you don't need a word. All you got to do is look up and you've sought him to the point to where you see his face. God has smiled on me. He has set me free. That word, seek my face, it means look at God until you see the countenance of his face. You can look at God and you can see whether he's grieved over an issue. Seek his face. You go to God about a situation or an issue. Amen. And you start praying about God, and you just look at his face and you know. You go to God for a red light or a green light, you look at God's face and he's just laughing. Didn't have to say a word, he was just laughing and you knew. His face. His face. How many of you would love to be led by the countenance of Jesus? That's the kind of walk that he wants to get us into. Countenance led. You know what, people? Most of the prophetic words that I've been getting, most of the prophetic words I've been getting in this season has been countenance. And we've been reading the countenance of God. I'll look out over you people real quick and then I'll see God. He's just so happy about you. He's just so excited about you. I mean, it's an energetic look. He's just so excited about you. Countenance. Countenance. Isn't that good? To seek his face. Seek his face. What does he look like? How's he doing? How is the heart of God? You can tell by his face. Call me a liar, but I've seen him before. And I had a talk with him. And you know what? He said things, but he never opened his mouth. He said things, but never once opened his mouth. But you knew exactly what he was saying. You knew exactly what he was saying. Just his face. Just his face. Just a glimpse of Jesus. And you're going to get to the point where you just admire his face. That you'll start to live just by his face. Moses saw the face of God. You remember? He went up to the mountain and he saw God and it changed. He got gray hair. Where have you been, Pastor Rod? In the face of God. Where have you been? Why are you acting that way? I don't know. I've been in his face. Different ways you can pray. You can pray and supplicate before God, but then you get to the point to where you just get to the point to where you worship him, and then you just, his face. Seek his face. His face. Somebody say face to face. You know, so many times you don't have to plead a thing with God. You don't have to tell God everything. He knows it already just by the look of your face. You look at him, he looks at you. Face. Seek my face and turn. Wow. Just because you saw his face, it causes you to turn around. See, that's how we should be led. Amen. Not by calamity, not by destruction. Amen. Not by the Roundup dogs. Not by Roundup dogs. But you say, what happened, Brother Ron? I just saw the face of God and it caused me to turn. You know, somebody else turned and had a look at somebody's face? Peter didn't want to be identified as somebody that was with Jesus. And he started to cuss, so that people knew that he wasn't one of those people that followed Jesus. And at that moment, as he was cussing, somebody say, trying to get away from who he was and what he was. Trying to fit into the crowd instead of coming out of the crowd. Yeah, are you understanding it? Then all of a sudden, as he was doing this, Jesus walks by, didn't say a word to him, but looked at him. And he saw his face. And the moment that Peter saw his face, he began to weep and cry, repent. Many times when you see people going down the wrong road, just say, Lord, show them your face. Show them your face. Show them your face. Saul was persecuting the church. He was persecuting the church, consenting to the murder of the saints. He was there when Stephen was executed. He was traveling down the road of Damascus. Then all of a sudden, there was a light that shined, and he looked into the light and saw the face of God. From that look alone, he repented. He saw the face of God. Some of you people need to see Jesus. Some of these issues that are too hard. Now, you know, calamity stuff, and just, I just want to go to heaven is fine for a while, but then it gets to the point to where you need to be motivated by a look at Jesus. Seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. When you look at Jesus, you'll turn. When you look at Jesus, you'll turn. Some people say, just look at yourself. Please, look at Jesus. Some of these people are so crazy they can look at themselves. Yeah, what of it? Look at what you're doing. Look at Jesus. Look at Jesus. Stop looking at yourself and measuring yourself with people and men and your own standard. Well, I just think I'm doing pretty good. Look at Jesus. You look at the face of God. And turn from their wicked ways. When you see the face of Jesus, you'll repent. He said, turn from your troubled ways. That wicked way is troubled ways. The rough road. That you're still driving down the road. Just as lost, but won't stop for directions. So stubborn. Gospel music playing in the car, going down the wrong road. Mm-hmm. Turn from their wicked ways. Where are you going to get your direction? From the face of God. From the face of God is where you'll get your direction, and you'll turn from those ways. This is your promise. Right here, here's your promise. Then he will hear from heaven. Say, then we'll hear from heaven. You ever heard in the Bible that he took to some people and talked to them face to face? Those that God really loves, he talks to them face to face. If they'll humble themselves, seek his face, turn from their wicked ways, then they will receive a gift. God will start to listen to them. You see his face, he'll hear your heart. Communication just starts to happen. He knows it all. You look at his face, you see his face, you start to turn, then all of a sudden, he'll start to hear from heaven. But he's not going to communicate to you until he's got good communication. He likes eye contact. He ain't out to play no games. Running to sin, yelling to God on the way out the door. I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to God. God don't hear that. It says this word, then he will he hear from heaven. It means carefully consent or consider. Carefully consent or consider. Means that at that time he'll start to pay attention. What does that mean, pay attention? Does God hear every prayer? Yeah, but no. You ever heard anything but didn't pay any attention to it? Somebody say, in one ear and out the other. You ever heard that? In one ear and out the other. God does that. He knows when you're serious. He doesn't take anybody serious that doesn't take him serious. People are a trip. People playing games with God. They treat God like a joke. And then when they get in need, all of a sudden he's going to be the biggest thing in the world. Remember, the Bible says, sometimes in the Bible, somebody says, now you're talking crazy. God would do that. Then why does the Bible say, then I will laugh at your calamity? Because you built a God. You reap what you sowed. You reaped exactly what you sowed. God does not hear anybody that doesn't look him in his face. Why? Because he doesn't trust a person that doesn't look him in the eyes. Why doesn't he trust a person that doesn't look him in the eyes? Is because once you look at him in his eyes, something happens to you. And he trusts a person that has seen him. Are you getting it? He trusts a person that's seen him. He's seen my face, and I know it did something to him. Once you've seen the face of God, something happens. Then all of a sudden you start to pray, and then he says, okay, now let me hear what you got to say. Then once he hears, something will happen. He'll heal your land. He'll heal your land. That's revival. Humble yourself. Humble yourself. Start by humbling yourself. Realize that you're called, but humble yourself to that high calling of God. Come into subjection to God. Humble yourself to that high calling of God. Then go and just pray. Pray without ceasing. Pray, 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 pray. As you turn from your way. Forget the direction you're going into. Just hang it up. Seek the face of God in worship. In praise. Just seek his face. He'll listen to your heart and heal you. Why don't you stand right where you are? I love you, people. Did y'all enjoy that this morning?
You've been listening to Pastor Rod Counselor. It is our prayer that this message has been a blessing to you. You can receive other inspirational teachings from Pastor Rod by contacting Rod Counselor Ministries at 1-800-298-4333. You can also join us at Nations Church in The Woodlands, Texas.